The scripture this morning is from Romans. Paul, from Paul's letters to the Romans. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. In all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen. Amen to the word of God for the people of God. Yes. Yeah. This is, as you see on the screen, second Sunday with our sermon series titled Questions of Faith. And I have been encouraging you to turn in the questions that have been bothering you, as those questions kind of hold you back from growing in your faith, in your relationship with God. I am here volunteering to wrestle with scripture and wrestle with the questions on behalf of you, not because I am more knowledgeable than you are, but because this is my vocation. My understanding of the vocation as a minister is to wrestle with the scripture to discern God's message for us as we live our life in the same season of human course. Moreover, this series is not as about giving you answer to those questions as about giving you a safe place to name the questions that are burning inside of you as those questions are inspired by your desire to grow in faith. This week's question is a hard one to answer. Is everything God's plan? If so, why disease, war, assault, and abuse? And this why question is not from one person, actually. There are more and slightly different, but the same in ways in which they cry out for clarity with this question. Why suffering? Why evil? The other voices were adding, why would a loving and all-powerful, compassionate being allow for so much of it? Why do bad things happen to good people? What can we say to our loved ones how they should deal with it? Even if it was not you who submitted one of these questions, I bet you can relate to this very much, don't you? A retired pastor once told about the very first and the very last question that he received during the years of his pastoral ministry. The first question came during the first week of his first appointment. A young couple in his church experienced a car accident, severely injuring their young daughter, and that she died the next day. During his visit with the family, the young mother cried and asked, "Why didn't God let my daughter live?" The last question came 40 years later. During the last week of his parish ministry, he went to visit a severely ill elderly woman in the nursing home. When he arrived, his son was there, and after the visit, in the hallway, the son grabbed the pastor and asked about this. As he talked about his mother's long illness and bedridden status. Why? Why doesn't God let my mother die? Why is life not restored now? Why is peaceful death not now? In between a time with the former question and a time with the later questions, there are thousands of why questions. Why does God allow little children die of cancer? Why does dementia happen to my parents? Why doesn't my depression go away? Why do innocent people have to be killed in war and in terrorist attacks or from disaster? Why does God let poverty, injustice, and violence harm and kill people? Are these parts of God's plan? Are these what God wills for God's people? The church member opened the question by pointing out the kernel of the question. Is everything God's plan? What do you think? You may have heard people say, hey, everything happens for a reason. Perhaps you have said it to someone or to yourself in response to suffering. In saying it, what you mean, I understand, is to help them through a difficult time. That way we seek to console others and others seek to console us by saying that, hey, God has a particular purpose for bringing about or at least allowing tragic event. However, when you carefully examine the statement, everything happens for a reason, and explore theological assumptions behind it, you soon realize that it is quite problematic. It eliminates personal responsibility. And it makes God responsible for everything, including the consequences of our choices. See how this line of reasoning can play out in the news stories this day. Okay, war broke out and has killed thousands of people and made the families separate from each other. Hey, everything happens for a reason. There is a reason that comes from God. God must have used the Russian leaders and military to teach something to Ukrainians. COVID has claimed more than 600 million lives around the world. It was God who sent this novel virus to the earth for some divinely ordained reason, if you say everything happens for a reason. Okay, let's kind of light it a little bit. I'm a baseball fan. Cincinnati Reds, this MLB team lost 17 games while they won only 3 games for their first 20 games this year. Hey, don't be mad, Red fans. There is a reason. And this is a part of God's plan. We can go on and on thinking some extremes that seems silly and blaming God for everything with this logic. Can we really say that everything, yes, everything, the good and the bad, and including all terrible things such as pandemic, car accident, child abuse, domestic violence, murder, torture, rape, war, starvation, earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes, and wildfires, and all kinds of disasters are part of God's plan? I don't believe it. Of course, as a Christian, uphold the belief in God's providence and sovereignty. Please don't get me wrong. Yes, we Christians share the belief that God, our Creator, superintends the universe and oversees what happens on the planet, exercising God's ultimate authority, power, and dominion over all creation. Yes, we have that belief. But then, actually, one logical thinking has been moving on this way. The sovereignty of God means that everything happens with God's permission. This argument was solidified by one of the most important figures in Protestant Reformation, John Calvin, in the 16th century, who was a lawyer and scholar, and all as well as a theologian and pastor. If something happens that is not God's will, he argued, Calvin, then God does not, in fact, have dominion over everything. Because of that, everything happens with God's permission. I get it. But while this argument sounds it preserves God's sovereignty, it doesn't give a clear voice on God's decision to give us the ability to make our own choices that are meaningful and powerful enough to make changes for the course of human life, personal and communal. And we see it clearly, even at the first chapter of the Bible. If you take only what I just said, okay, which could be understood as the absolute endowment of human free will, you will find yourself on the side of deism. Have you heard of this fancy name for theological philosophy? It was pretty popular with America's founding fathers in the 18th century. In deism, sometimes we call God the watchmaker God. God creates the world just as the watchmaker would create a watch. Then he created and he gets it running and winds it up and then leaves to let the watch run on its own. While this idea keeps God from kind of free from, while this idea free God from the responsibility for everything, it denies that God has been involved in history and is involved in our lives. So what I have said so far, first, I believe that God doesn't control and script every last thing. I also reject the idea that God stepped away after God finished creating all things. Yes, I have problems with portraying God as a micromanager or an absentee landlord. Then the question is this. If God doesn't control us, if God doesn't take hands off, how do we understand our roles and God's role in the world and in our lives? The church member who raised this week's question as to say, if humans have free will, how much? And when is it okay to exert free will? And when should we just wait and see what unfolds per God's plan? What's your thought? Okay, I acknowledge that I cannot fathom what is true perfectly. But I still know that I make choices, and the choices that I make have consequences. Yes, I'm talking about, again, free will. Then why did God give us a free will? Even if it would cause all kinds of trouble, why did God dare to give us free will? The answer is in God's nature. God has given us life because His nature is love. Love gives. Love requires freedom. Think about your love. You love someone very much, but if you don't honor their freedom, it's not really love. It's a controlling or apathy. Many of you as a parent or a guardian know well this. There are times that you decide to let your children go free, knowing full well that they might make bad choices from time to time, knowing full well that in the real world they might be hurt. You let them go on their own path because to love means to honor their freedom. God loves us, so God gifts us with freedom. God couldn't make us as His puppet in the gift of our free will, so we see God's love. To the why suffering questions, I don't know what the answer is, but I do know what the answer is not. It is not that God doesn't love us. It is not that God is indifferent and stays far away from us. What do we see in Jesus? We see the God of love who takes our suffering and brokenness so seriously that God was willing to take it on Himself. So we can say with confidence that God Emmanuel joins us in joy and in suffering. Even in our worst suffering and pain, we are not alone, but we are accompanied by God. then some of you may say, hey, pastor, I don't need a God who suffers like me. That kind of God looks so weak and frail. I want God who is powerful and capable enough to take me out of the tragedy and misery right now. But friends, think about this power, the power of a presence. I believe in it. Let me tell you my story. There were times in my early 20s when I felt as if I was stuck, trapped in the dark, deep pit. My family was being destroyed. I did everything that I could do in an effort to help everyone in my family to not give up on them, each other and on themselves. But there was no sign of change at all. God didn't seem to do anything for the situation. At best, I understood that it was not God's plan, but the consequences of the choices that we made, and that is what we were paying price for in suffering and in a shattered family. But I couldn't understand why I had to be part of that payment. I did nothing wrong that caused that situation. God didn't give me an answer to this why question. I was losing my faith in God and even the desire to live. I still remember one night when I was on bus after my evening part-time work, after my long hours of class at college. As the bus made a big curve and it leaned quite heavily to one side, and I wish I would die in a car accident, not by my hand. I cried in my bed every night. My prayers in tears were mixed up with the frustration, disappointment, and anger at God. Then one night, I felt God was sobbing with me. God was staying beside me so that He wanted to make sure that I would not feel left alone. What I would then require of God was no longer to bring fire or to send the troop of angels from above to wipe out the situations. My thought and prayer then turned toward the desire to get it through in company with God. I didn't want it to be lost. And this is why I love and appreciate the prayer of St. Patrick. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me and beneath me, and Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, and Christ when I lie down, and Christ when I sit down, and Christ when I arise. And I know the more lines follow, but I will stop here. You ask, when it is okay to exert free will, then when should we just wait and see what unfolds per God's plan? Hey, what when our faith is in this God, the ever-present God, never leave but stays beside us, then we see faith is not about what we do is not about switching the steering, the pilot control between me and the in God. No. What? You say, you feel like where I am done with my job, then God comes in, takes the rest part of the works over? No. It's not like this. Instead, it's about working together, walking together, hanging on together, embracing all the life gives together, all the time. Because nothing can separate us from the love of God. We read it today once again, right? Neither death, nor life, nor angel, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor power, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Again, because God is love, God not only gives us freedom, but also accompanies us everywhere. With confidence in God's love, then I read again the verse that leads to this passage, verse 28. We know that all things work together for good, for those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. Yes, the Apostle Paul says this, as he was on the way to Rome for his trial before the emperor. And he writes this to the Christian community, including us. He doesn't say that God makes everything happen for a reason, or that whatever happens was a part of God's will. Rather, he says that no matter what happens, however bad it may be, God will somehow bring good out of the situations for those who love Him. Yes, those who love Him. In other words, those who keep close to Him, those who give their heart and attention to Him, will be able to see God bringing about something good, life-giving, life-healing, and life-thriving. Of course, like the others in the world, we know well that the horrible things happen. Yes, we know it well. They are part of our life. But we, lovers of God, recognize that horrible things will never have the final word because they are not God's desire for us. We see this truth in Jesus' resurrection, and that's the message of Easter this year. Death is not the end. Love outlasts it all. God has the final word. To conclude, let's bring that question again. And my answer is clear and bold. God gives us life, and the gift of life, which is given in God's love, involves freedom. Because it's all about God's love. Though God takes that price of giving freedom to us, God decides not to take hands off. Instead, God in love accompanies us always, even in our suffering, and God carries us through it and brings something good from it. If you keep close to Him, you may see it better. God, who is a sovereign, has the final word for all that God has made, even for all that we made with our choices. Friends, are you feeling this day nothing but God's silence? Let me pray with you and for you that you would trust God's presence in your life. God is not absent from you. God is not indifferent about you. Instead, God is active and God is love. Even while you are in suffering and with doubt, I hope and pray that you may be able to find the presence of God, which is active in accompanying you, assuring you, and leading you to the fullness and wholeness of life, which is what God desires for us. Thanks be to God. Amen.